Our scripture reading this morning is very familiar. That story of the advent of Jesus. And let's just read that together. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. May God add God's blessing to our understanding and our living of this word of abundant life. Amen. Well, Christmas is all around us. Christmas is coming soon, and as we've mentioned in so many different ways, it's always a great season of giving. My question this morning is, though, have you ever received a gift that you didn't want or didn't need? Somebody behind me said, never. I doubt it. It's an odd process, though, isn't it? When you get something that you look at and you go, huh. You know, it's before you open up there, there's all the anticipation, and you unwrap the paper, and you cut the tape, and you open the lid, and you peel back the tissue paper, and then you look at it and you go, wow, wow. A little surprised, a little confused maybe. You know, remember to smile, definitely, if the person is there. And sometimes all you can manage to say is, that is really something. Am I holding it right side up? Is this the way you hold it? Or, oh, you wear it. I wear it. Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe like this. Maybe like this. Right? This is the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ring toss. I don't know what I did with the nose. It was actually kind of a fun gift. But you look at something like that and you go, you know, how have I lived without this? Possibly. And so let me just say, I have not mastered the art of receiving the wrong gift. Now, you could ask Laura about wrong gifts. Like the first year we were married, for some reason, I thought that a real feather duster was a cool thing. I did. I don't know why. So, I gave one to Laura for Christmas. I know now. I have learned, and the answer to that is no, never, wrong, mistake, strikeout. I am so sorry. Laura was gracious about it. But there are some things, you know, some gifts that just don't fly. Last one, my parents, who some of you got to meet them. They are both passed on now. They both had very, very good taste. Just, you know, dressed really nicely, pretty conservative, kind of proper. Home beautifully decorated, which is why I was so bewildered one year when I was with them and I opened a gift from them. I unwrapped it, and the only thing that I could come up with was, oh my gosh, would you look at that? Would you look at that? A ceramic cow head cookie jar that every time you open up, it moves at you. It's like, receiving the wrong gift. And then we have God's gift of Christmas, the birth of Jesus. For as much as all that we know now that's right with it, for at least some people, if not most, and probably almost everybody, back then, it seemed like what might be a really wacky gift in the way that it was given, when it was given, to whom, and where, in so many ways. It just seemed wrong. It was the gift that no one needed. To some people who they desperately needed help, but they needed it right then, and they needed it right there. Someone to swoop in, someone to take control, someone to change things, someone to lift them out of their poverty, heal their illness, stop the political cruelty and oppression. And how about the many people who needed a religious leader, religious leaders who, how about instead of wasting so much energy debating religious food laws, or was it okay to heal a person on the Sabbath? How about becoming more interested in caring about actual people? Now those were some gifts that people wanted and needed. But God gave Jesus as this little helpless baby who had no power. It would take him 30 years before he would even start. It took time. Who knew? So he may not have seemed like quite the best gift for those people, certainly who had to wait. But he was the gift of God. He was the Prince of Peace. And who knew that the people to whom he was given already had not just a Prince of Peace, but they actually officially had the Emperor of Peace. And a God and a Savior. All in the name of Caesar Augustus. That's right. Our scripture begins saying, in the days of Caesar Augustus. That was the world into which Jesus was born, the days of Caesar Augustus. They were the days of the most marvelous peace that the ancient world had ever known. But let's just back up a little bit to understand things to 40 years before the reign of Caesar Augustus, where 40 years earlier, his predecessor was Julius Caesar. We know that man. Julius Caesar had welded together an empire that was even greater than Alexander's. His troops had conquered Gaul and the British Isles. The Germanic people also bowed down to the great Roman eagle. And when he returned to Rome, Caesar also put down civil rebellions. So there was good order. His empire, his power was great. But in the end, for him, as we also know, Julius Caesar was murdered by his friends, wasn't he? And that led the Mediterranean world into a period of ruin for the next 20 years. Wars raged. Farms were neglected. Towns were ransacked. Any wealth that you might have had was carried off by bands of desperados. Streets were unsafe. Administration had broken down. Travelers were kidnapped and sold as slaves. Trade diminished. Investments stood still. Property values fell. It was a mess. Julius Caesar was killed in March of 44 BC, the Ides of March. That was the year when he was killed and everything turned to chaos, that they opened the doors to the cultic temple of Janus in Rome. Janus is the god of war. And like an Indiana Jones movie, except this was real, the doors of this cultic temple were opened whenever armed conflict was happening. They opened the temple doors of the god of Janus, and those doors remained open every day for the next 20 years. What did they need? They needed a savior. So enter who? Not Jesus. Enter Gaius Octavius. Now, stick with me. Believe it or not, every piece of this has exactly to do with Christmas. Okay? At the age of 18, Gaius Octavius went off to battle in Spain with none other than Julius Caesar when he was still alive. Caesar was so impressed with this young man that when Caesar was killed, in his will, it declared that young Gaius Octavius be his successor as if he were his own son. And here's the thing. When someone was conferred with the title of Caesar, that meant they were considered to be a god to the Roman people. Not like celebrity status, like, oh my God, you know, you're a god. No, a real god. Like you bow down to, you have to worship God incarnate. So when Gaius Octavius was designated as Caesar's successor, as his son, Octavius was considered to be the son of God. It was understood by the world, which Caesar controlled, that Octavius was born to be king, and the government would be upon his shoulders. And his name would be called Wonderful. Of peace, there would be no end. For this most powerful leader of the world, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. After Julius Caesar's death, peace to his kingdom would not come easily. For Gaius. In fact, it wouldn't happen until Gaius Octavius was 33 years old. In that year, it was 29 BC, peace would finally be declared throughout the empire. The doors of the temple of Janus, then the god of war, would be officially closed for the first time in two decades. Now, what does this have to do with Christmas and receiving gifts that you don't need? Well, the Roman Senate celebrated the occasion of this peace for Gaius Octavius that he fought for and won by officially conferring upon Gaius Octavius two titles. One, they conferred upon him the title of Savior. And two, they conferred upon him the title of God. God and Savior. He was no longer Gaius Octavius, but also with that conference, his new name and his new title was declared to be Caesar Augustus. And the Senate ordered the building of an altar to be inscribed with this bold statement, Pax Augustus, the peace of Augustus. Every city built a shrine to their god, their emperor, in his honor that said, quote, Caesar Augustus, the savior of the whole world. And so it was into this world that Jesus, the gift, was born. In the days of Caesar Augustus, that's what that means. The world already had an officially proclaimed Savior and God. And not just the Prince of Peace, the Emperor of Peace, Pax Augustus. The world finally had everything they needed. So what kind of a foolhardy God would give the gift of a helpless baby into this kind of world that already had everything they needed? A baby who would be a king or savior or prince of peace, born to poor parents, who had no earthly power, no status or influence, no breeding or sword, no land or legions of fighting men, but was born into the world of Caesar Augustus. Jesus was, it seemed, the gift that this world did not need. And yet, we listen to what the philosopher of the time, Epictetus, wrote about that time. He wrote, "While the emperor may give peace from war or land and sea, he's unable to give peace from passion or grief and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which humanity yearns." And so it was at precisely this point Edward Gibbon began his great 7-volume work on the decline and fall of the Roman Empire in the days of Caesar Augustus. Because while the peace of Augustus, Pax Augustus, ruled the nations, it could not conquer the human heart. And now, 2,000 plus years later, is Jesus still the gift that the world doesn't need? I don't know. Which kind of leader does our world want? Which kind of leader does our world respect more? The peace of Augustus? Legal, military, governmental, economic peace and prosperity? Or the peace of Christ? Which kind of a leader does our world yearn for and talk about? What kind of a world do our politicians promise to give us? What do we vote for? What are we raising our young people to emulate and respect? Worldly power, worldly peace, decisions that are based on how to maximize our personal and national economic gain? Or do we promote what will help create the greatest support for those in the greatest need? Which peace? Which power? Now, those were the issues that were at stake then: economic, governmental, and so forth. What are the issues that are at stake now? In the days of Caesar Augustus, while all the world basked in his peace and prosperity, it was to them he was given, or maybe he was given to the least of these, that God gave his so-called wrong gift to the wrong people at the wrong time. The gift that no one thought they needed. There's a TV talk show called The View, right? 4 women who serve as hosts, and they were talking about Christmas and stress one time. The question was, what would be one thing about Christmas you would get rid of that would make Christmas less stressful? And one of the hosts said, I'd give up the religious part. She said, seriously, I'm not joking. She said, religion has caused too much stress for too many people over the years. And sometimes it makes people sad. People in the days of Caesar Augustus would agree. And I think that that has become our culture today as well, honestly. A larger percentage of Americans now, as I'm sure we all know, ever, more than ever in our history, designate themselves as being completely non-religious. You don't need Christ. You don't need God. And you don't need the peace of Christ or the message of Christ. That's not what gets you ahead in this world, materially, vocationally, or with power. That's not what we respect. That's not, as a culture, how we are raising our kids. You wonder, how does life without a spiritual anchor, what does that look like? Watch the news. Watch TV, watch YouTube, watch TikTok. In the days of Caesar Augustus, it was into that world that Jesus was born, and he had a very different message, a very different vision of success, what success meant, of very different morals, what it means to get ahead, very different ethics than, frankly, what most people wanted back then. And frankly, that's still the way it is today. We're not living in a world that's clamoring for Christ and what he offers. Jesus came bearing this promise of his peace and came bearing the message of Isaiah. Quoting Isaiah, saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring what? Good news to who? To the poor. God sent me to bind up who? The brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound. And as he added, to care for who? To care for the least of these. Now, how do you think that went over with comfortable people who were in power back then? We know how that story ended, don't we? But seriously, how is that life posture supposed to compete with the allure of success, with power and might, with getting ahead in the world, with living the good life versus, what, good news to the poor? Care for the brokenhearted? Freedom to those in prison? It doesn't sound like tough on crime to me. Help the poor. How much is that going to cost me? What does that do to the economy? Those were the issues then. Which is why God sent Jesus. And here are the issues now. Are they different? Do we still have the downtrodden, the poor? Do we still have the least of these? As Jesus says, that's what we're here for. So here's the big question. Is that Christmas? The presence of Christ into this world, the presence of Christ into our life, the presence of Christ into your life. That's your gift. In the days of Caesar Augustus or today, with a moment of his presence, born into the world, people were given a choice, back then and now, of who to follow, what vision to follow, who and what kinds of support with their money and with their time, who would be their God? How would they justify their choices? In other words, things really haven't changed that much. Because the decision always becomes born anew with each one of us. What do you do with God's gift? I want to close with a little story I was told the other day by one of our church members. Friday, late Friday afternoon, actually, one of our church members, Stephen Panis, we were talking about all sorts of things, including the differences between winning earthly battles and earthly justice versus winning that battle of having integrity with God. Where you may lose the earthly battle, but is there something bigger, or is that it? We're talking about just doing the right thing, which some people call faith. Doing the right thing regardless of whether or not the world considers it a win or not. So he told me this story about a man who every day went to visit his wife, who had Alzheimer's. And every day he would go and visit her, and every day she had no idea who he was. And every day he still went. And one day there was a nurse there who said, "Why do you come every day to visit her when she doesn't know who you are?" And he said, "Well, because when I come every day, I know who I am." Now, if you can hear that, I think that says a lot about what our faith is about. What we're doing here, why Jesus came, and what kind of peace he brings. What are we supposed to be after in the days of Caesar Augustus or in our day, in our life? This is the gift of Christmas. The presence of God come to us, and what are we to do with it? Jesus also said, you know, what do you really profit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? What greater gift could I possibly give, says God, than to give you, in the person of Christ, I give you my mind. I give you my will. I give you my body so that you know. And now that I give that, now you get to give as I would give. Now you get to care as I would care. Now you get to lift up the downtrodden, the oppressed, the poor, the marginalized, as you know I would lift them up. And that perhaps is the greatest gift and the greatest responsibility of all. Merry Christmas with all my love, always and forever. Love God. Amen.